Hey, good morning, church family. So good to see you here today, and happy Father's Day. We are so glad to be here and to celebrate fathers, and there's a lot of thought about how did this thing get started? How did somebody get to the point of wanting to honor fathers? Well, let me just help you out over here. This whole celebration idea began in the heart and the mind of a woman by the name of Sonora Louise Smart Dodd. And it was in 1909, she was listening to a sermon on Mother's Day. And so while she's listening to the sermon, her mind began to wander. And she said, well, I see we honor mothers. Why don't we have something that will honor fathers? Now, she was 27 years old at this time, and she had just a great love for her dad. Her dad was William Jackson Smart. He was a Civil War veteran, and when Sonora was 16 years old, her mother died in giving birth to their sixth child. And so her dad, Mr. Smart, was responsible for bringing up six kids by himself. And she was so impressed with the love and care, and she felt like that dads needed to be honored. Well, if you fast forward to 1966, President Lyndon Johnson made a proclamation that the third Sunday in June would be set aside to honor fathers. Go a little bit further, you get to 1972, and President Nixon, Richard Nixon, established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. This is the third Sunday of June. And so we are going to honor fathers. Now, on the outset, when you see Father's Day and somebody says, we've done this so we can honor fathers, that's a pretty cool thing. And all dads look forward to being honored on Father's Day. And they look forward to doing that everywhere except church. Because historically in church, we beat up fathers on Father's Day. We just lay the hammer down on you on that. But we're not going to do that, okay? Today is a day where we're truly going to honor fathers. And the way we're going to honor fathers is we are going to give you a message out of the scripture that's in two different parts. The first part is going to be a challenge to every dad here. And listen, every dad wants a challenge. I know you do, because you signed up for parenting. It means you wanted a challenge. So, dads, we're going to give a challenge to dads. And then we're going to look at a choice that every child has to make. And that's children of all ages, no matter how old you are, if you still have a living dad, you have a choice. And so we're going to talk about that. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Back in one of Paul's letters to the church at Thessalonica. This is a church that he founded. And when he founded this church, he wrote them a letter back to see how they were doing. And he's got a beautiful section of scripture that we will look at. And then we're also going to be looking at some passages in the book of Proverbs. So let's read this. And the first point that I want us to think about is a challenge to dads, and that is to be strategic. To be strategic. And so what do we mean by being a strategic dad? Let's start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to lay the foundation for this. He says, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil, our labor. That's Paul and those that were with him. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Now, they were proclaiming the gospel of God, but now take it a step further. You were witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. And stop right there. They said, this was our conduct. We were holy, we were righteous, and we were blameless. This is going to set the foundation for everything that we talk about today. Because as we talk about the challenge of being a dad or being strategic in there, it comes to living a life according to God's word, holy, righteous, blameless. And that's what we desire to do, and that's our challenge for dad. So that's our foundation. Well, then look what he says in verses 11 and 12. He says, for you know how, like a father with his children, he's getting ready to say, this is how we as ministers treated you as parts of the church there in Thessalonica. And it's no different than how a father would with his children. And he told them three things. We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Here was the goal, for you to walk in a manner worthy of God. This is our goal as parents, as dads, is that we want our children to walk in a manner worthy of God. In order to do that, we need to be strategic. And when I talk about strategic, what I'm talking about is that when you give birth to a child, you've got them for probably about 18 years. And then that's usually when they move out. And sometimes they circle back around and come back in. But you know at the age of 18, after 18 years, they're going to be moving out. And so you need to be strategic. We need to be strategic in how we help them to walk in a manner worthy of God. So let's take these three words and talk about what does it mean to be a strategic dad. Number one, first, is clear instruction. Clear instruction. Paul used the word exhorted, how we exhorted you. That word means directing into suitable lines of conduct. Look at that, directing you into suitable lines of conduct. We exhorted you. We gave you clear instructions. This is how you walk in the Lord. These are your lanes, and this is where you need to stay. So when I give clear instruction, how do I do that? Two things. Number one, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Stephen Covey wrote a book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, he said that one of the essential habits of life for successful people is that they begin any enterprise with an end in mind. So when you begin to start something, you have to see the end. This is what I want to accomplish, okay? This is the end. And then strategically, I need to plan to get to the end. And it's the same thing with parenting. Parenting is not just, hey, we've got this bundle of joy and let's just do what we want to for 18 years. No, there needs to be a strategy. There needs to be something at the end over there, and you give clear instructions for that. Every dad should ask this question. And this question is this: what essential information do I want my children to leave home with at the end? What essential information do I want my children to leave home with at the end? I've got them maybe 18 years. And when it's time for them to step away, what is the essential information they need to have? So as your child prepares to drive away and leave home, and you've shaken his hand or hugged her neck, you said your last goodbyes, and as the car is disappearing over the horizon, what does your child leave home with? That's the end. That's what you're shooting for. Every strategic dad begins his interaction with his children with that end in mind. So what are the things that you want to have your son or daughter to leave home with that gives weight, substance, and strategic value to their life? John Kroll, the founder of the Big Oak Ranch, the Girls Ranch and Boys Ranch, he uses that analogy of a suitcase where he says, parents, you're packing your child's suitcase. And there will come that day when the suitcase is full, they close it up and they walk out. You are the one that's packing. How will you pack their suitcase? Certainly, we want good memories of fun activities, but there's got to be more than that. For instance, a strategic dad with his son. A strategic dad wants to ask these questions of his son. He says, what do I want my son to leave home with concerning information about manhood, about his role with a woman, and how to respectively treat a woman? On the other hand, a father with his daughter would say, what do I want my daughter to leave home with concerning her self-image and her understanding that she is specially created by God in his image, and about the qualities in the boys that she would date and the qualities of a man that she should marry? And for all of our sons and daughters, we want to pack their suitcases with knowledge of how to manage money, social skills with others, the value of hard work, how to be on time, how to clean up their room, how to wake up and get out of bed by themselves and take initiative in life, how to impart the knowledge of God and how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to share with others, and how to stand for your biblical worldview convictions. You look to the end and say, I want to give clear instructions with the end in mind. You've got about 18 years. And you want to make that a priority. Number two is, in order to do this, there's a key word, and it's called availability. It's availability. A strategic dad has got the end in mind and he begins to give clear instructions to his children. But to be able to do this, he has to be available. You see, a dad's work begins when his job finishes and he goes home. And that's now his job. And at home, it is your opportunity to encourage and instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. Listen, share scripture together, work on homework, shoot hoops, pitch a baseball, wash the car together, walk the dogs together. Just be available. Be available. You see, if your children come to you with problems, if they come to talk about their day, if they come to you for any reason, and they keep getting a busy signal because you're preoccupied with either a TV remote or the cell phone in your hand, it won't be long before they start dialing other numbers. You cannot put this off because time is fleeting. Every parent here has got a little bit of age on them will say, boy, our kids grow up so fast, don't they? And it's amazing. You'll be standing there and they're walking by getting a diploma from graduation and you just felt like it was a pre-K a few years ago that they were getting this little certificate. It goes by fast. And so you have got to take intentionality and have that end in mind and give those clear instructions and you need to be available to do it. The second exhortation that Paul gave us is that we console, we comfort, and celebrate. As dads, we console, we comfort, and we celebrate. He said in that scripture how we encouraged you. And that word encouraged is a word that means consolation. It means comfort in trials. And so as a dad, we need to recognize when our children are hurting and we need to be sympathetic and we need to be comforting. We need to just understand the pain they go through. You know, when you're the last one chosen on the playground consistently, that kind of hurts. You know, when you are the one that has to put up with cutting remarks from other students, there's a pain there. When you don't make the team, when you didn't make the band, when you didn't make the cheerleading squad, you didn't make the dance squad. In fact, you tried out for a part in the school play and you didn't get the part. I mean, on and on, there are disappointments along the way. There's no date for homecoming. There was no date for prom. I mean, these are painful times. And too often, as a dad, you think, well, that's mom stuff, and she'll come by and she'll comfort them. No, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his letter in Thessalonians, he didn't say, as a mom does. He says, like a father with his children. And he says, like a father with his children, you are to encourage them. That means you are to console them, you're to comfort them. And also, I would think it is a time also to celebrate with them. You just need to let your child know that you're there for them at all times, when they need comfort, when they need consolation, and even when they need celebration. It seems like every time I've ever gone to somewhere where a child receives some type of honor or award, that when they receive that, they've scanned the crowd because they're looking for one person, and that's their parents. It's amazing. You want to see his mom or dad here. If I'm shooting the free throw on the free throw line, is mom or dad here? If I'm performing in the play, is mom or dad here? If I'm recognized for academic excellence, is my mom or dad here? Are they going to celebrate with me or are they too busy doing something else? You see, as a strategic dad, I want to be there for every one of those. And I've walked through those with my own daughter. And I've been there when she didn't make the team. And I was there when she did make the team. And so I've been there to be able to see the low points and to see the high points and just to know that, hey, whether it's just comfort or whether it's celebration, as a strategic dad, you need to be there, okay? So in encouraging your child, I think every child needs to hear at least three things in their lifetime. And every dad, we can do this, and it's not that difficult. Number one, we need to tell every child, I love you. You need to tell your children, I love you. How many times do you hear people say, my dad never told me that he loved me? He just thought that because he did things for me, that I would know that. Listen, it's three great words and it means a ton. Always tell your children, I love you. Second of all is I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Find something that your child does and let them know that you're proud of them on there. You know, they don't always have to be the one to hit the winning hit in a baseball game or something. What you do is you just look for things that they do in life. And it just could be either the way they organize something or the initiative that they took. But man, That's good. And just say, I am proud of you. And then number three is this, and that is you're good at, and you fill in the blank. You're good at, fill in the blank. You ask most children and you say, what are you bad at? They can come up with a long list of things, but oftentimes they don't really feel good about really what they're good at. I think it's great for a parent to find those things and let that child know, this is a strength that you've got. You're really good at this. See, this is a part of us encouraging, consoling, celebrating with them. All right, number three is this, and that is compelling character. Men, to be a strategic dad, have a compelling character. What Paul said in his letter, and he said here, I charge you, okay? And he says, I charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God. I charge you. That word means to urge you. I have urged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. And so, dads, if we are going to strategically teach our children to reach an end, we ourselves need to have compelling character so that our words and our actions match together. One thing, the best way to train your children to live out the scriptures that you teach One more time, get that. The best way to train your children is to live out the scriptures that you're teaching them. Let them be able to see, what does this look like in flesh and blood? I read this thing in scripture, what does it mean? What does integrity mean? What does loyalty mean? What does these things, faithfulness mean? What does righteousness mean? Let's just live it out. Because what children need is someone they can look up to, somebody they can imitate, somebody they can learn from through example. And we know this, any parent knows this, children watch us like a hawk. Isn't it amazing you don't think they're taking in anything? And then all of a sudden, they speak up and go, woo, I didn't know you heard that or saw that. They're watching you. I mean, it starts out young, folks. And they're watching everything that you do. And what you communicate through your actions is showing them what you value. You're showing them through your actions and how you manage your household, your view of wealth and materialism. You're showing them how you love, value, and honor your wife. You're showing them how you balance family, work, and church. They're kind of seeing what that balance looks like. You're showing them how you react and interact in certain situations. And they also pick up from you and see your attitude toward the Word of God, toward the church, towards prayer, and to the pastor. Dramatic pause for that one. On there. Children usually shape their attitudes towards the church and towards the pastor and towards the staff. They get that mostly from their parents. They listen to the conversations around the dinner table. They listen to the conversations in the car. They listen to what you say, and they sort of drink that in. And it's been my experience in over 30-something years of ministry that it seems like the children who have the greatest respect and love for both the church and the pastor and the staff are the ones whose parents have the greatest love and respect for the pastor and for the staff. Now, I only have 53 days left here, and I'm scared to even say this point because I think everyone is going to tell your kids, hey, go up to Pastor Danny, tell him you love him, because then he'll think we love him too. No, I'm not asking you to do that, all right? But what I am saying this is that there will be a transition to where a new pastor will come in. And when that new pastor comes in, you will help shape the way your kids think about that particular pastor. Because you'll be talking around the dinner tables, you'll be talking in the car and all that stuff. I just encourage you to be as supportive and positive on that, and it will make your kids be able to make that transition too, okay? So it is a compelling character. You cannot teach more character than you possess. So, Dad, you need to continue to grow in your own personal holiness. And so this is something, that as dads, we need to grow in our own personal holiness. Now, some of you say, well, my kids are already out. Are you ready for this verse? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. Okay, now I'm getting you, right? Inheritance to his children's children. And so what you do is having an impact, not just on your children, but also on your children's children. And so this is a challenge for us to leave a legacy, an inheritance of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. To be a strategic dad who gives clear instructions is consoling, comforting, and celebrating, and he demonstrates a compelling character. This is the challenge to dads. Now, a word to the children. And this is children of all ages, anyone who still has a dad who is living. And we are going to look in the book of Proverbs, and this is what it deals with. Number two is this, a choice. A choice for sons and daughters, and that is honor or pain. Honor or pain. In the book of Proverbs, it's an interesting book in which it's set in the environment of a father talking to his son. I want you to keep this in mind. You start out in the very first part of Proverbs, and he says, this is a father who is talking to his son. These are not just random bits of wisdom that just are out there. This is a dad looking his son in the eyes and saying, this is wisdom for life. This is a father who says, I don't believe in living and learning. I believe in learning and live. So what I want you to do is I want you to learn what wisdom looks like. And I want you to learn this, and then when you get out in the world, you live it out. And it talks about a lot of different things, but it talks a lot about relationships of children and their parents. And it talks about how children should relate to their parents, and their actions will either result in honor or pain. It'll either cause your parents to rejoice or to grieve. So you ready? Let's start with the pain. Start out with the pain. Proverbs 17:21 says this, to have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool. A child living a wayward, rebellious life brings grief to a father. It breaks a dad's heart and it crushes his spirit. Yes, prodigal sons and daughters, they can return, and when they do, all people will rejoice. But you just need to understand is while you're on that prodigal pathway, you are inflicting pain and grief on your dad. And it's there. And it's not just when you're going through teenage years, folks. It can be when you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, or even 50s, and you have a living father. It causes grief. And this is what the writer of Proverbs has said. Well, then Proverbs 20:20 goes a little further. And it says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Now, that word curses is not like you're swearing, saying a curse word. It is more of a word that means to despise. It means to treat your dad if he was beneath you and you show him no respect and you treat him with contempt. And it says, if you despise your father or mother, he says his lamp will put out in utter darkness. It says there's a consequence to treating your parents or your dad like this. It says he will be in utter darkness with no light. Just put it in our mind. Let's say you went into a cave that was just dark as night and you had your cell phone with you. You had that little flashlight app on there and all of a sudden your power went out. You're right in the midst of a cave and you are in utter darkness with no light. So what starts coming through you? First, there's fear because there's just sort of the unknown. Then there are some concerns about destruction, and am I going to step on something wrong? I'm not sure which path I'm going to. And it even could result in an untimely death because I'm finding myself navigating an area that is just darkness with no light. This is what the writer of Proverbs says. And he says, it's serious nature when we do this. Now, Proverbs 30:17. This is like going to be your favorite Father's Day verse. Folks, y'all are going to love this one. All right. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother. Moms, we're bringing you in on this one. Okay, you ready? And scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Yeah, baby. This is what we're talking about. This goes on your refrigerator, moms and dad. Pop it right there. Hey, listen, you mocking me? You mocking me? When you walk out that door, you see a bird fly by, you best be covering your eyes because it may come down and pluck it out of there. And is it going to eat it? No, he's not going to eat it. He's going to give it to the vultures and let them eat it. You know why? Because he's coming back for the other one. And so this is good. This is Parenting 202. It's a whole separate message. You'll like this one on here. Okay. So we say, whoa, what is this talking about? Well, this is talking about like an arrogant son that would mock his parents and just refuses to obey. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is there are painful consequences for parental disrespect. And it says you will head down a pathway that will be characterized by conflict and difficulty, often ending up in destruction. Scripture makes it very clear that when we mock or just refuse to obey, and understand, as you circle this word obey, if a parent ever asks you to do something immoral, unethical, you don't need to do that, okay? So that's way out there. We're talking about just normal obedience. And he says that when you do that, your life could end up in destruction. So we just need to understand that that for children, for all of us, how we respond to our parents can cause pain. Ah, but let's close it with this, and that's with honor. So how do you honor your dad? What does it say in Proverbs? He says four things. Number one, listen to your father's instructions. Listen to your father's instructions. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs 4:1, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." This is great. You pay attention and you gain understanding. No parent is perfect, but they do deserve honor and attention. Parents have been placed by God in a position of authority. Listen and learn from dad. He provides a perspective from experience that is invaluable. And quite frankly, he knows more than you do. I know that's a shocker, but he does. See, when we hit the teen years, our temptation is not so much to rebel as it is to dismiss our parents. We start to think they don't know much. You know, they're naive, they're out of touch with the real world. But what you need to remember is they have a great deal of experience, and they have been down the road, and they have learned some great lessons. Let's just say you were going to take a trip from Birmingham to Boston to do like a fall foliage tour. And your parents were going too, and you're taking separate cars, they're going a day early. They go and they drive all the way from Birmingham and they go up to Baltimore and they're spending the night there. And they call you and they say, "Hey, just wanted to let you know that when you get to Charlotte, there's a lot of road construction that's taking place in there. So if you want to do a bypass, that would probably be helpful." And let me tell you this, one of the restaurants that we found that was just delicious, it had that favorite food that you love, he says, "It is excellent. Here's the name of it." Now, I'm thinking since you got the kids, you probably won't make it all the way to Baltimore. You're probably going to look for a hotel to stand in. Let me tell you about this motel. Don't stay in it. It's flat nasty. How do we know? Because we stayed there. Now, what did they just do? They just gave you some help because they said, "I'm giving you some understanding, giving you some information because we have traveled the road ahead of you." And you see, that is helpful advice and counsel along the way. And that's what every parent ought to do. And every child needs to at least be willing to listen and benefit from it. It does not mean, especially when you move out of the house, that you do everything that they say. I mean, they're giving you advice. Then you get to weigh it out. But the respect is to be able to listen to that advice. And then when needed, heed it and obey it. All right, number two is this: act wisely and live righteously. Act wisely and live righteously. Proverbs 23:22-24 says this: "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Verse 23, it says, "Buy truth and do not sell it." Hold on to it. "Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding." And in 24, it's a great verse: "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him." The best Father's Day gift you could give is to act wisely and to live righteously. Because it says here, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. You want to make your dad happy? You want to give him the best gift that you can give? Act wisely, live righteously. And it says when that happens, you bring joy to dads. Number three is this: imitate your dad's integrity. Imitate your dad's integrity. If your dad's a Christian, imitate his life. Imitate his faith walk, imitate his walk of integrity. Men, Proverbs 20, verse 7 is a great verse, almost like a life verse. And that is, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children after him. One translation says, how blessed are his children who follow his example. You see, I don't know about you, but this is the guy I want to be. I want to be the righteous man who walks in his integrity. And your children will make the choice as to whether they follow that or not. But how blessed is it when they follow your example? So, and then last one is this. Number four is this, and that is, thank your dad, genuine and specific. Thank your dad, genuine and be specific. As children and teenagers, you have no idea all of the time, the financial, and the emotional cost your dad has laid out to you for your benefit. Take a few moments and think all he's done and thank him. Today, June 20th, 2021, exactly 18 years ago, June 20th, 2003, was when we had my dad's funeral. And at his funeral, I had the opportunity to be able to share. And so I shared some of the qualities of my dad, and I shared some of the memories that I had, and it was good to take that time and do that. But then over the next 2 years, 2 years later, I developed a leadership talk for Power Lunch that was called Life Lessons That I Learned From My Father. Life Lessons That I Learned From My Father. And what this did for me is I did a deep dive into my dad's life. And I found 10 qualities in his life that impacted my life and shaped me to be the person that I am today. There were some things I'd never thought of before because I'd never really taken the time to do it. And so I put those down, and I did that talk, and I looked at it, and I had smiles on my faces, and it was such a great, great memory to do that. But then there was a sense of regret because I never told my dad that. I never pointed these things out, and I never thanked him. I never just sat down with him. I'd written him a note at times and put a couple of those things, but I just never sat down face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and say, Dad, let me just tell you what you've done in your life and how that has positively impacted who I am today. And I regret not doing that. And so let me challenge you to do that. Take the time. Think about it. Some of you said, man, I may have had an absent dad or didn't have the best, the closest relationship. Think really hard. Maybe it's just one or two things, but there is something that you have taken from your father that you say, you know, this has helped shape me on that. And you be specific and be genuine and thank them. Don't have that regret to where it's too late. Take that opportunity and do it, okay? We honor our dads. Honor our dads. We honor our dads. We do that by listening intently, acting wisely, living righteously, imitate integrity, and then thank him specifically, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we honor fathers on Father's Day, that you are the ultimate heavenly Father, because you are holy, you are blameless, you are righteous. Father, you are loving, you are forgiving, you are full of mercy and grace and justice. And we love you and we thank you for that. And Lord, we know as earthly fathers that we have made our mistakes and we are not perfect. But I just pray that today it would be a day that we as dads can recommit to be that strategic dad and to be one that lives for holiness and blamelessness and righteousness, and to be available to our kids and to be able to give clear instructions to them. And Father, I pray for all of us that who have dads that are still living, that it would be a time when we really do take the time to thank them for what they've done in our lives. And so, Father, that's our prayer. And that as we not only just look at earthly dads, that we'll also focus on our heavenly Father and be so thankful for all that you've done through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.